welcome to this podcast from Adelaide Place Baptist Church. We are a community of disciples, apprentices of Jesus, who live and work in the city of Glasgow, and it's our vision to join God in the renewal of all things. Our discipleship to Jesus is for all of our lives, so as well as listening to this podcast, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning, or get involved in one of our missional communities, which are across the city throughout the week. Our prayer is that you encounter Jesus in some way through this podcast. More information can be found at apbc.net.
Welcome again to Adelaide Place. It is so good to be with you and be sharing with you. And a special welcome if this is your first time joining us online or in person. It's been so good to see lots of new faces, especially here in person, over the past few weeks, and I'm sure joining us online as well. And it's a privilege to be with you today. I want to share with you today about mission and the power of the Holy Spirit. Over the past few weeks, we've been thinking together through Pentecost and Trinity Sunday, and last week as well, about the work of the Spirit among us and our part in joining with God in the renewal of all things. Last week, Sam shared with us about our innate desire to make a difference, to be significant, to change the world. And also that alongside feeling that I suspect I'm not the only one have, that what can I really do to make a difference where I am? And yet, as Sam shared, God takes what seems insignificant to us and uses it to bring about his kingdom among us here on earth. I thought this was really helpful, what Sam said last week. The same power that transformed the most foolish thing in the world, a God who would die for us, is the same power that empowers the weakest and the lowest to bring about his kingdom of renewal and restoration here on earth. The power of the Holy Spirit. So what about mission? Well, missiologists, people who study and think and write about mission, have seemingly often defined and then redefined and redefined again that word mission. And certainly the word missional or mission has been made more popular among churches, perhaps to describe a local church or a particular activity of that local church. But especially over the past 50 to 100 years, mission, it seems, has rapidly taken on a new meaning. And actually that meaning can change depending on someone's experience of church, their understanding of the word, how someone has explained it to them, perhaps, or what they've observed. There's a guy called David Bosch, who's one of the most eminent missiologists of recent times, and he himself acknowledged that it remains extraordinarily difficult to describe what mission is. Transforming mission means both that mission is to be understood as an activity that transforms reality, and that there is a constant need for mission itself to be transformed. Now, a deep dive into the theology of mission is not what I'm going to try and do today. That's for another time, perhaps. But if you've been around church for any length of time, you'll have heard that word mission. You'll have heard the word evangelism or witnessing. And we'll all, I suspect, have a slightly different experience of it. It will bring to mind different things for each one of us, some positive, some maybe less positive. But if you would call yourself a follower of Jesus today, a follower of the way, as those early Christians were called, the early church, I wonder what your journey has been from before you followed Jesus to after you decided to follow him. Maybe you grew up in a Christian family or you did an Alpha course or something similar. Perhaps it was a sudden thing. Perhaps it was more of a more gradual process. But just take a moment, just now, right now, and have a think to yourself. If you would say you're a Christian, you follow Jesus, just recall something of that journey from before you followed Jesus to after you followed him to today. What difference has Jesus made in your life? Take 30 seconds, have a think just now. Perhaps you want to share that with someone else later today and ask them what their journey has been or their journey of discovering God is at the moment. But turn with me in your Bible, if you've got one, or look up on your phone or feel free to just listen in to John chapter 16. John 16, and we'll begin reading this morning from John 16 at verse 7. This is what Jesus says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, much more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Amen. Jesus is speaking here to his disciples, preparing them for what's going to happen, his arrest, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension back to the right hand of the Father. And Jesus explains what the Holy Spirit is going to do, the work of the Holy Spirit, to his followers. Probably a little confused why it was better for him to leave, but he lays it out for them that the Holy Spirit draws people to God. Verse 8, he will convict. That word can also be translated as to expose or to refute or to convince. The Holy Spirit reveals the state of our own hearts, reveals and points out our need for a Savior in Jesus, and draws us towards the Father. This is not some kind of forcing of the will or a dragging, but a coercing or coercing, but a wooing of us, a winning of our hearts, a relentless pursuit of us, that we might be known and know God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Most of us, I think, would agree that people tend to look more at how we live, or at least as much at how we live, as what we say. How we act matters. Authenticity is important. And so my question to you and to myself is this: if Jesus has transformed your life, if he has made all the difference in how you live day to day, is your life open like a window for people to see that difference, for people to see Jesus at work in your life? Do people see the way that he has changed you from the inside out? Do they just hear you saying nice words, or do they see the difference he has made and does make in your life? Because if sharing your faith or witnessing or mission is just another thing that we do, another activity, just a compartment in our life, then we miss the point entirely. Leslie Newbegin, many of you will know him, a missionary, a theologian, an author, wrote this: "Mission is not just doing something; is not just something the church does. It is something that is done by the Spirit, who is himself the witness, who changes both the world and the church, and who always goes before the church in its missionary journey." That can only be done by inviting someone to church or to an Alpha course or by telling them the right things. But it's lived out every day, opening your life to people who are around about you, people who you meet or know really well, in conversation with things about the day-to-day things that we all face. How does your faith affect how you manage your finances, how you deal with stress? How have you known hope in this past year? And how can people see through our lives the hope that is in Jesus, the hope that we have that is real and deep and bigger than anything that we face? David Bosch again wrote that mission is more and different than recruiting people to our brand of religion. Thank goodness for that. It is alerting people to the universal reign of God through Christ. Alerting people to the universal reign of God through Christ. We get the privilege of pointing people to Jesus. It's not our job to convince people or to say the right things. There are helpful things to help people on their journey of faith, but it's God who changes hearts. It's his reign that we are pointing people to. We've read the words of Jesus and hold on to those, but also come with me to, firstly, Acts chapter 10, and then Acts 17. And in Acts 10, Peter has a vision where he then heads off because of this vision to the house of Cornelius, the centurion, and he starts sharing the good news about Jesus. He starts sharing how he has encountered Jesus and what that might mean for their lives as well. He begins by recognizing what they already know, where they are, acknowledging their understanding of God's message. And then in verse 44, we read that while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Peter faithfully points people to Jesus. He tells them of the saving work of Jesus, his death, his resurrection. But it's the Holy Spirit who comes in power to bring authority to those words, to bring transformation to lives, so they're not just left with a nice idea or a new concept, but with changed hearts and minds. And then in Acts 17, we read of Paul traveling to Athens, preaching into what he found to be a situation of worshiping false gods, of idolatry. And in verse 22 of Acts 17, we read that Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.'" And notice here first that, and everywhere where Paul goes actually, before he does anything, before he speaks, before he shares the good news about Jesus, he notices what is going on in that place. He takes time to listen, to look, to watch what is happening, where they are on their journey of faith, what they know of God already. He acknowledges here that they are extremely religious. So Paul gets where they're coming from. He understands their experience. He goes on then to tell them, verse 22, "What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." And then down to verse 30, "While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent." So Paul preaches the unchanging rule and reign of God through Christ. He points people to Jesus. He tells of his experience of what Jesus has done for him and allows God's Spirit to work and do the work of transformation, as we see at the end of this chapter, people coming to follow Jesus for the first time. So it's so important that we journey with people, alongside them, understanding where they're coming from, that we listen and hear their experience, what their experience of church is maybe, or what they understand of who Jesus is and what he has done. When our kids were really young, before they could speak, when really the only way they could communicate was by crying when they were hungry or needed fed or whatever, or just a bit tired. And so what I decided to do was to explain to them really logically all the reasons why they should stop crying, why they should eat their dinner when they're given it or feed, and why they should sleep a little bit more. I prepared a PowerPoint presentation. I gave them all the information. I even prepared an accompanying workbook so they could work through that and do an in-depth study in their spare time. Of course I didn't. But what B and I did do was to cuddle them and rock them to sleep and walk them around the block lots of times. We showed them and demonstrated love in a way that they could understand and know that they were safe, that they didn't need to worry, that sometimes they just cried because they liked to make noise and that was okay. And as they've grown older, of course, we can communicate with them a little bit more through words and tell them that they should really eat their dinner and tell them that they're loved, and they can share something of their experience and what they're going through a little bit more as they get older. There's a book that was written about 45 years ago by a guy called James Engel, and he was he wrote with the problem, or as he stated it, the problem that people are looking for answers, but the church isn't providing them because the message is presented in a way that people don't understand, that isn't relevant to their lives, that doesn't make sense in everyday reality. So the message hasn't changed, but the way it's presented isn't connecting with people, so James Engel said. And perhaps at times, some of us have come to understand evangelism or sharing our faith with people as successful only when someone is converted or makes a decision to follow Jesus, however you want to say it, And of course, we pray for that and hope for that for many people in our lives. But few of us could survive, I think, as effective witnesses when that's the only measure of success. When if someone doesn't fall on their knees and confess Jesus as Lord, that we've failed somehow. That doesn't seem quite right. And in this book, the Engel Scale completely changes that idea, outlining that, we'll get to that in a minute, outlining that if you understand something of the journey a person has gone on, their experience, maybe they've had a bad experience of church, maybe they don't really think God exists. But if you take time to understand that then and help them take one more step towards discovering God, then that's worthwhile. I wonder, thinking back again to your journey of faith, of coming to know Jesus if you follow him, how many people you could put along the way of helping you discover more of who God is. Different people who maybe didn't even get to see you at the point you decided that following Jesus was the best way to live. People who took time to understand where you were coming from and help you take one step closer to discovering God. So what is the Engel Scale? We've had a sneak peek. Here it comes here. And as you can see, there's lots of different steps. It's just a tool, but it's helpful. Before that orange one in the middle, number 10, of deciding to follow Jesus. It shows a few, that there's lots of different parts or different steps before someone gets to that point. So there's no awareness of God. There's some awareness of God. Contact with Christians, perhaps. Then maybe an interest in Jesus. Grasping the truth about Jesus. Understanding implications of that truth. Acceptance of Christian truth. And then a decision to follow Jesus. And beyond that decision, of course, we know is not the end of the journey. But there is growth beyond that, gaining confidence, learning the basics of faith, spiritual disciplines, sharing with others, and going beyond that to grow closer and more like Jesus. And as you know yourself, I'm sure, this is a journey that we go on. It's a process. It's not even a step-by-step. That's too simple. There are steps that many people take that aren't in there. Some of them take years. Sometimes we or others go back and repeat steps and do things again. But it's just a model that can be really helpful, not a measuring stick to hold up against someone's life, but to recognize that this is a journey and to acknowledge where someone is on that journey. Someone who maybe is adamant God doesn't exist might not be ready to take part in an in-depth Bible study, for example. They might be, I don't know. But they might just need a friend alongside them who can share with the difficult things of life, who can share with the good things of life, and for them to show how, for us to show how Jesus makes a difference in those situations, to demonstrate what living in the kingdom of God looks like. We need to be constantly asking the Holy Spirit, remembering it's his power at work among us who brings transformation. We need to be constantly asking him to show us how to love people in our normal day-to-day life. How to show that rule and reign of Jesus, point to his way of life. To slow down, take time in silence perhaps, listening to God. Just inviting him to show you what he has given you, how he has created you in a unique way that will allow you to share your faith with other people. In a way that will reflect the image of God in normal, boring, everyday ways of life, and also in creative ways, in new ways, that people might not have heard of Jesus before. And here's the thing, the main thing probably, if you don't hear anything else today, then hear this, you won't save anybody on your own. The pressure's off, in a sense. If it was your job or my job to redeem all things and bring salvation to all mankind, then we'd be in a pretty bad place and Jesus wouldn't have had to come. But it's him that does the work. It's his mission. It's his job to bring people to the Father. Yes, we have a commission from God, a mandate to make disciples who make disciples, to take that to everyone that we meet and everyone across the world. But it's him who changes the world and changes the church. He goes before the church on its missionary journey. The vision of this church here in Glasgow and Adelaide Place is joining God in the renewal of all things, joining with what he is already doing, his work, his mission, his purposes. He's the one who can and does and will bring about transformation, lasting transformation in our lives and in the world. And one day we'll make all things new again. So we get to join in with that incredible journey of faith with other people, to see where they're coming from, to listen to them, to pray all the time that God would reveal to us how we might share our faith with them, to be like that window that they can see Jesus at work in us, almost see past us and see what he is doing. And as we pray, we let people see that power at work within us. So we trust him to bring transformation. We trust him to lead us each day in the small moments, to pause and to build in time to our day to have space for those conversations, to stop for one person and share something of our faith with them. Share how you deal with technology if you're a parent. Share how you're actually really struggling with anxiety, but you know that God is your hope, is your anchor in the midst of that storm. And in all this, know that he will empower you and embolden you and lead you in the bigger decisions and in the smaller decisions. He goes before those who are moving on from Glasgow this summer. He goes before us into whatever Monday morning holds for each of us here. Let me finish with this. There's a new book that came out last year called Positively Irritating, and by John Rittner. And he wrote this: to make new disciples in a post-Christian culture, churches cannot assume people will attend our gatherings on our property led by our professionals. We lead with mission, draw people into deeper community, and pray the Holy Spirit leads them to worship Jesus as Lord. Lead with mission, draw people into deeper community, and pray the Holy Spirit leads them to worship Jesus as Lord. As we thought about earlier, each of us has a different experience of coming to follow Jesus, a different experience of how he is changing us more into his likeness each day. Some of us gathered online or here in person might not even have decided to follow Jesus yet. But the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, is still drawing each of us closer and nearer to God, to his heart, to his way of life. How can we share that journey with others wherever we are in it? How can we listen well to people and trust the power of the Holy Spirit at work among us? We get to simply point people to Jesus, to listen to them, to demonstrate something of what life in the kingdom of God under the reign of Jesus is like. We lead with mission, draw people into deeper community, and pray the Holy Spirit leads them to worship Jesus as Lord. Shall we pray together this morning? And Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for your presence here on Bath Street and at home or wherever we are joining this morning. We thank you that you are present with us. And we ask right now that you would, in your gentle, quiet way, help us be aware of your presence, to acknowledge you among us. And Jesus, we thank you for how you breathed on your disciples, filling them with your life-giving spirit. And we ask, Jesus, that you would breathe on us now. Breathe life where we are weary. Fill us afresh with your power, we pray. Would your presence fill our hearts? Give us courage to be your witnesses again. And we thank you so much, God, that you go before us by the power of your Holy Spirit. It's your mission. Would you send us out in the power of your Spirit, just as your Spirit went before the disciples? Would you go before us into this city, into the cities and countries that we are sent to, and prepare and soften hearts for your message of hope, your message of life and transformation? We thank you, Jesus. It's all about you, and we worship you this morning. Amen.